Good morning. It's April 21st, 2016, and you've tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show right here on 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I am your host, not so lonesome Jack. I have a guest co-host across the table from me this morning. Carrie Logan has joined as guest co-host. And go ahead, Carrie.
Good morning.
And good morning.
Very nice to be here.
Yeah, on a beautiful day. And later on in the program, our guest today is Ellen Weissman, the Executive Director of Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated. And we will be talking about a upcoming dance that Sassy is holding and more about the organization. But first, let's talk about this beautiful weather that we continue to have today and hopefully tomorrow. It does look like today is going to be more of the same, more of the beautiful same that we've been having for the last couple days. High of 77 degrees, mostly sunny, and tonight partly cloudy. Should be another calm day. East wind only 5 to 9 mile an hour. And that's also in the morning, and then later on in the day, just a nice, calm, warm July day that we've been enjoying here in April. Tomorrow, we do have a slight chance of showers and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 76, east winds of 3 to 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 30%, new rainfall amounts of less than 1/10 of an inch, except higher amounts possible and thunderstorms, of course. Going into the weekend, showers are likely on Saturday and on Sunday, and then on Monday, a slight chance of showers. The temperature is going to drop a little bit. On Saturday, it looks like the high is only going to be in the mid-50s, and the same for Sunday, up near about 60 for Monday. At least that's the outlook from Thursday, according to the National Weather Service. And it's going to be, I don't know, I guess that's okay. We like a little rain in April. Rain in April hopefully means less smoke in August, so that's all right.
What's the saying? April showers bring May flowers, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then there's a joke that I actually told on the morning show just a week ago. What do May flowers bring?
I don't know what.
Pilgrims. That's right. That's our show, folks. Joining us this morning here in the Tiki Room is Ellen Weissman, and good morning to you, Ellen. How
good
are
morning,
you?
Good morning, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes.
I've always wanted to say that on the radio. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us. And you are the Executive Director of Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc., also yes. known as SASE.
SASE, for the past year and a half, yes.
Or else known as, perhaps more familiar to some longtime residents, is just the Senior Center.
Right.
For those who aren't familiar with SASE, what is your organization? What do you guys do?
The Senior Center has been here for about 40 years, over 40 years, Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc. And the past, the mission statement originally was to feed elders. Feed the seniors of the community who needed assistance. And the past 10 years, we've added the Daybreak Center, and that's care for Alzheimer's, families dealing with Alzheimer's. And it's respite care for the caregiver, who often burns out first, and then it's a time for socialization and mental stimulation for the person who's having memory issues. So it's a dual purpose, and that's in the building that's next to the main senior center. And in the senior center, we have all sorts of activities, much more than I ever imagined when I first started. Meals from Monday through Thursday at 11:30. We have lunch and breakfast on Friday mornings at 8:30, and card playing and bingo on Wednesday evenings, and laughing yoga on Wednesday mornings, and we help the food bank by folding plastic bags for them on Wednesday mornings too. And Wii bowling on Thursday mornings, virtual bowling.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Wow.
We just finished our tax season. We have the AARP tax assistance for preparation for your taxes. Volunteers that come in, we have a lot of volunteers through the whole program doing all sorts of things. The tax season went from beginning of February till just this past Monday. We had a lot of people coming in for that. So there's all sorts of things going on. Every day is different, which is pretty fun.
And this is your headquartered out on?
On Main Street, on 820 Main Street. Yeah, it's across from where Common Knowledge used to be, where Embody is now. We just finished a major project this past summer with the parking lot and got a state block grant to redo the parking lot. And it was like a ski slope out there. It was hills and valleys and just really dangerous. And it's really pretty now. And Avista donated lights for it. And it's safe and really pretty. And we can expand events in the evening now. And we've started a karaoke night, which we've done two of them, karaoke and dance, sing and dance the night away. And we had one on April Fool's Day. And a couple people came in costume.
And you do that in the parking lot?
No, not in the parking lot, inside. But it wouldn't work too well in the parking lot. But it was inside. But we ended up dimming the lights and making it kind of nightclubbish. We were able to change the atmosphere in there from the lunchtime meal to an evening event. And it was really fun. So
there was quite a fundraising effort to supplement the grant funds that you received and to supplement the contribution that the city of Sandpoint made to that that parking lot job. And so I've forgotten how much your goal was, but did you reach your goal?
Well, for the parking lot, those funds are earmarked for that project. Most grants are earmarked for a grant project. And we are always fundraising. We get reimbursement from the Area Agency on Aging for a third of our food costs, about 30%. But the other 70% is fundraising from organizations for food costs or for operating expenses or for the Daybreak Center. Cal donated some furniture for us, or funds to get furniture for us in the Daybreak Center recently. We got a grant from them also for a defibrillator. And so those are project oriented, but, and the city was really wonderful in Avista, and the county also has given us money recently for the home delivered meals program. But all of those, don't cover our costs. We're constantly, doing either events like the karaoke night or people donate when they come in for lunch. The lunches are by donation only, the meals, and the home delivered meals also. It's by donation only. A lot of folks who are getting home delivered meals can't afford it. Some of the folks who come in for the lunchtime meals in-house give extra so that we can offset the home delivered. But it's all little bits and pieces coming in. When we did the parking lot project, a lot of people walked in off the street. I had no idea who they were. I still don't know who they are. One woman brought in $50 one day and I'm like, thank you. And then she left and I'm like, who are you? And she left and she, never mind. It's okay. So we got small grants or small donations of $10 all the way up to $500. So it was amazing. We still have part of the project left to do on the south side of the building. And finishing touches on the other part, but it's about 85-90% done now. And it's very exciting. It's very safe. It's very pretty. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Who's your target, I guess, clientele?
Audience?
Whatever. Yeah, who's your target audience?
Target audience. The mission statement says anyone over 50 can come in. I welcome anyone, any age. It's not really for kids. They're in school most of the time. But if kids want to come in and interact with an elder, I welcome that. But primarily we're looking at folks above 60. If for the meals, if you're over 60, it's by donation. I need to clarify, if you're under 60, it's $7.50. And that's a charge to cover our program, because we don't get reimbursement for people under 60. But most of the people who come to the center now, or have been coming for many years, started coming when they were in their maybe late 60s, early 70s. But they've been coming for 15, 20 years. Hmm. So we have folks in their 90s. And we celebrated two birthdays yesterday. And they didn't give their age, but I think they're in their late 80s. Irvel Rainey comes and he's a hoot. He's 95. We celebrated his birthday last fall. He was our ribbon cutter at the ribbon cutting for the parking lot. And he's just so witty and so just keeps us all in stitches at lunch. We have several 90-year-olds. We've had a gal, Helen, I don't remember her last name, but she's 101, and she's come for lunch a few times. I want to capture these stories. If there are any filmmakers out there listening, I want to capture these stories before these folks pass. We've already lost a few people, and that's the hardest part of the job, getting close to folks, and then they just don't show up one day. Either they've passed or they've moved to live with family or moved to a retirement community of some sort, assisted living of some sort.
So how'd you get involved, Ellen?
My background is teaching, and I worked with Pam Crawford with the Teen Center. I was on the board of the Teen Center when we first started that project, which is so exciting to see what they're doing now, trying to buy the building. And this was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And Pam and I have known each other since Farmers Market days 20 years ago. And she was on the board of the Senior Center. And knew that there was an opening and told me about it and convinced the board to hire me, I guess. So, it was the right timing. I tell folks that my kids are not 8 and 9 years old anymore. They're 80 and 90.
What's an average daily census at the Senior Center?
It builds through the week. Mm-hmm. Mondays are quieter. At lunch, there might be 20 or 30. And it builds. Mondays and Wednesdays are salad bar days. So that's in addition to lunch. Rather than a side salad at your day with your meal, it's the salad bar. So that's an addition that started just before I began. And it's really wonderful, and it's helped increase the numbers. A lot of people like the salad bars. And it builds through the week. On Thursdays, we could have 70 or 80 people. Hmm. And the outs, what I call the outs, the home-delivered meals, we're doing about 1,000 a month, 1,000 meals a month.
Wow.
And in-house is close to that. So we're looking at over 2,000 meals a month and 2,500 a year.
And what's your delivery area?
The whole county. In some places like Priest River, we meet drivers and then transfer the food and they go out further. But our drivers go all the way north to the border. And we were covering
north to Boundary County,
Boundary County line, okay. Yeah. Yeah, not Canadian Porter, sorry. No, we don't go that far. But Clark Fork Senior Center used to be umbrellaed under us. Uh-huh. When I first started, uh-huh. that was one of the main things we changed. And so they now cover the Hope area and Clark Fork area. But we were driving meals out that far before. Huh. And we go south past Kokalala. So
and so volunteers,
yes,
do that delivery. Do they get like gas mileage? Or?
Most of them don't ask for gas mileage. Okay. And we do own a car, a mm-hmm. Subaru, and some of them drive the car, and then we put gas in the car. But they are our angels. They are amazing. We're having a volunteer appreciation tea or lunch on April 29th for them. All of our volunteers, because we use volunteers in a lot of different ways. But the drivers, some of them have been driving for 30 years.
Wow.
Since the program started. And the home delivery part of the program mm-hmm. started. And they're amazing. A lot of them are just quiet. Mary McGinnis is one of my right hands and directs the food program. And she's quiet, and they're quiet, and they just do their, they're just little quiet little worker bees that I'm like, you guys are amazing.
So if there's somebody out there who wants to obtain home delivered meals for themselves or a family member, how do they go about doing that?
They call the center, mm-hmm. And we'll put them through to Mary, 263-6860. And there are a few intake questions initially, pre-screening. You have to be basically homebound or caring for somebody at home who calls in, and then not able to cook meals, not able to get to the store to get the food to make the meals. Mm-hmm. But there are very few that have called in that we've had to turn down. And it's just for whatever reasons. There was one fellow who got out of the hospital and was going into the hospital, and he called before he went in. So he didn't qualify then, but as soon as he gets out of the hospital, he'll qualify.
So do you have a relationship with the hospital and stuff? Do they make referrals to you when they're discharging somebody to home? Or
some. A lot of the home health folks come in. Okay. And get equipment. We also have a lending storage area, wheelchairs and walkers and bathroom aids and tub transfer mm-hmm. chairs mm-hmm. to get in and out of the tub more easily. Those kinds of things. And that equipment is coming and going all the time. If someone has equipment they're not using anymore, please bring it down. We go through that a lot. Hmm. I mean, it comes and then it comes back to us, but the lending, there are a lot of people who come in and need stuff, and we've already lent out everything we have. But to qualify after Mary pre-screens them, then we send the information to area agency, and then they do the follow-up call, and they're actually the ones who approve or don't approve. And then they let us know if somebody's been approved, and then Mary gets them on the route and tells the driver, and we pack up the food. And
is there a financial component to eligibility?
Well, no, not to eligibility, and not in the in-house meals either.
Okay.
We serve anyone in the county, and there is an income question on the intake form. But if it's optional, if somebody doesn't want to put down mm-hmm. what their income is, that's mostly for data collection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a factor in deciding. It's mostly, are you stuck at home and are you not able to cook your meals? Because we don't want anyone to go hungry. Mm-hmm. So, the income isn't part of that.
Gotcha.
So, and the meals are great. I was concerned, frankly, before I started about what the quality of the meals would be, because I'm eating there almost every day. And they're really good. We've had salmon. We even had salmon donated by Thunder's Catch, fish from Alaska. We've had chicken cordon bleu. We've had I can't even name this. I mean, pasta dishes, and it's really good.
So does so. Back in the day when I was doing social services, there were commodities. Commodities, a source for some of your items.
We do occasionally get some commodity foods, but they've improved considerably since back in the day. And Sysco is our main provider, well, besides Yolks and Super One and Walmart and Safeway, mostly Super One and Walmart. But Sysco recently paid for an ad in the paper for us to put our menu, and now the paper is putting that in for us with a senior spotlight every 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
So that's really nice. That kicked that off. And Sysco's great, and the food quality is it's good, and we have to follow the guidelines. You know, we can't just serve anything. So it's a balanced meal.
Right.
And for a lot of people, it's the only meal of the day. And it's for folks who come in, it's a big meal. So I don't eat as big dinners as I used to.
Do people take leftovers home?
Yes.
Okay.
We have containers, but we encourage people to bring a container and recycle that.
Right. And then what about Fridays? Is there any, here's a little extra food for the weekend, or how do you guys do that?
Not. I mean, they can take what's left over on their plate, but we use everything. We don't have hardly any waste because what's left over goes into the frozen meals that we put in the freezer for home delivered meals. Oh. So
you don't have any chickens in the back or anything?
I mean, we have a big freezer, and then we have several freezers and fridges, but we have, when they're making a meal, it's good for people to call ahead so that we know how much to prepare, how many people to prepare for. But if somebody shows up and doesn't know about calling ahead, then I think we've run short once in the year and a half I've been there, because they always make more. Because the leftover goes into the frozen meals.
Gotcha.
But when somebody's on the home delivered meal program, they don't just get frozen meals. They get a hot meal for the day that it's delivered, and then however many frozen meals they're eligible for the rest of the week.
Nice.
So and it's, they're sent home in sealed up recyclable containers that we get. So
do you want to talk about your fundraiser?
Yes.
And then I want to talk about Daybreaks.
So. I don't want to forget about that either.
Yeah. Well, and let's do Daybreak first. Alzheimer's is growing. It's 1 in 6 now for elders. It's just they're trying to figure out what's causing it and how to fix it. And one of the things is mental stimulation, is keeping yourself really active. And by whatever that means for an individual.
Is it just Alzheimer's or dementia in general services?
Well, the Daybreak Center, we're Alzheimer's, dementia. Alzheimer's is a form of dementia.
Right.
And there are, I forget, like 32 categorized forms of dementia now or something like that. But It's a very home-like atmosphere with excellent care during the day. We're open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays right now. We're looking at expanding. And it's a place where a loved one can leave their person off and be able to catch their breath. I know my dad had Parkinson's. My mom had strokes. And before her strokes, she was taking care of my dad with Parkinson's. She was frying out. I think that might be what caused the strokes. The caregiver is under 24/7 pressure. And they really need to have time for themselves. They may be using that time to do grocery shopping or laundry. But it's time that they don't have to be thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to listen for that person. It's like taking care of baby. You're on 24/7.
Right.
The person with memory issues, and compared to a baby, it's not like, a lot of people are pretty self-sustaining. They're totally it's a big range of abilities when you have Alzheimer's. Some people are early onset. They know they've got it. They're dealing with that. Other people don't know they have it and don't understand what's going on. So there's a wide range, and I hope that no one else ever gets it. But it's at the Daybreak Center, we've got activities. They were playing Jenga the other day. It was really fun.
What's Jenga?
Jenga is that wood puzzle tower game that you pull out a piece and the whole thing eventually falls down.
I wouldn't like that.
They were out in the garden gardening the other day, too. And lots of different activities to and also just kicking back and reading the newspaper.
A friend of mine volunteers over there, and he plays cards with this one guy all the time. And he loves it. He loves going there and hearing the conversation. And although it's just sometimes it's the same thing over and over, but he still enjoys it very much.
Yeah, sometimes from minute to minute. It's actually very zen. I'm wondering if the be here now that Ram Dass always spoke about, if that's what Alzheimer's about. Because it's very in the moment. Although a lot of people have memory from childhood or past that come back, that part of the brain is still intact. But the part of the brain that's knowing what happened yesterday or the day before, that's not doing so well.
I saw there was some organizational change to management of Daybreak. I saw in the... No. I saw you're changing your lease with the city so that you could...
We're looking at expanding times. We're looking at the financial responsibility of the overall organization. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at the possibility of having someone else actually rent from us and then manage the program. But it's still in the discussion stages. But we did have to, go to the city to modify the lease.
Yeah. Because that's a city building. I don't know if you knew that, Jack.
City property. The building was built. The main building was built by elders who then went back to the city. They went to the city and said, "We'll build this building for a senior center, and then give it to the city, and then lease it from you for $1 a year," which I think is really clever. The Daybreak Center was donated. That building was donated to the organization, so we actually own that. So, but it was designated for adult daycare. So,
that's a huge need.
Huge need.
Yeah,
and
because your caregiver burns out, and then the option is institutionalization.
Right,
and people don't want to do that.
They don't
want to keep their loved ones home as long as they can.
Yeah, a lot of. With the baby boomers coming up, we're looking at huge numbers, and we've got to be ready for taking care of folks.
Right. So is there a charge for taking your loved one to Daybreak?
Yes. And it's $10 an hour. And we've got some scholarship money that we've been able to help. And then the Area Agency on Aging also provides some assistance.
There's no Medicaid reimbursement for people that are eligible?
Depends on... on what insurance or Medicaid, what they've got in their coverage policy.
Okay.
If they have long-term care in their coverage policy. Uh-huh. So it's, we have to look at each individual. But so far we've been able to, we just got a grant from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. So we've been able to scholarship some of our participants.
Nice. So how many people are coming?
Right now we have, I think, 6 families. Huh. And Ann Haynes is awesome coordinating all that. And we have a couple other gals who are caregivers who were, working for us as the caregivers in Daybreak.
So same thing. If somebody was interested in that service, they would just call SASE and you could refer them to the right number.
They can call directly to the Daybreak Center, which is 265-8127. So, and that, if no one answers, just leave a message and Ann can get back to him.
It looks like there's a Alzheimer's support group today. Is that right?
There is. Also, Jan Griffiths is awesome. And on the first and third Thursdays of the month from 1 to 2, over at the Senior Center in the conference room, we have a support group for Alzheimer's. And that's been really, really helpful. And when a caregiver is in the support group, the scholarship money covers the person for that hour. So somebody could try it out, leave their loved one next door, and then come to the support group.
Right.
And that's been really, really helpful, because meeting somebody else, it's just like any kind of support group, like, you know, cancer support groups or AA or whatever, you know, any kind of support group, you're meeting somebody else who's going through what you're going through. And for somebody who's going through it and has friends who don't understand it, that can be really hard. Mm-hmm. So this is a place where you're meeting other people who are going through, and they're learning from each other. They're getting ideas from each other and suggestions on what to do and how to respond, how to communicate with someone with Alzheimer's, how to be patient when somebody asks you, oh, where do you live? You know, do you live here in Sandpoint? About four times in about 10 minutes. You know, it's like, oh, how do you, you know, because you just have to be in the moment with that other person. You can't go, oh, he just asked me that four times. You just can't, you know, you just have to roll with it. And the support group is incredibly helpful for that. Hmm. So
are there any people that show up with traumatic brain injury? Because sometimes they can manifest a lot of the same way.
Yeah.
Is that population that you can address there or not? Prefer not to?
We can. We haven't yet.
Okay.
It's similar. Uh-huh. So... But for now, we've just mostly looked at Alzheimer's memory issues. It's overall memory issues. Mm-hmm. So if it's a TBI situation, it would have to meet the person just like anyone else. The person and assess. We don't take somebody who's got violent tendencies. They have to be able to play well with others.
So you brought us a copy of your newsletter, which is really a nice newsletter.
Thank you.
I am going to make Desiree Aguirre's, hello Desiree if you're listening, crustless spinach pie, because for those of us who are gluten free, oh no, it's got flour in it. Well, I can put my phony flour in it. But anyway, that looks very cool.
She has wonderful articles. This month, she just happened to do a recipe. Uh-huh. We have Mary's recipes in there each month, too. But the newsletter has grown. Emmy Kaiser is another one of my right hands. And then Nancy Savage is my bookkeeper. She's my third right hand. And she's Sassy's bookkeeper. I can hear her correcting me on that. She's not my bookkeeper. But Emmy has been awesome with the newsletter and helping that grow with me. And
Do you do this electronically too?
We do. And that's something that I've been trying to, I'm glad you reminded me of that, been trying to accumulate email addresses so that we save money on paper and get it out. So at the first of the month, we send it out electronically. So if anyone wants to call the center and leave off their email address, we also mail them out for a small donation for the year to cover printing and mailing costs.
What's your awareness of the increased use of digital media by seniors? I know you have a computer class. Are people getting into that?
We are. They are. The county recently redid our computers. We had old, thick laptops that I guess were Avista's, hard case for when they're out in the field, laptops that were there when I got there. And that was the first thing I was like, they were good. They worked, but we needed better equipment. And desktops that people could use. And the county helped us get in new equipment, refurbished from the county. And we've started a class. Mike Bauer comes over from the library on Tuesday mornings. We're on hiatus right now. We're waiting to get more people to start a new session. But he's been coming over and teaching basic computer skills. And we had a solid group of five or six people that were coming. We went about 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Nice.
And anyone can come and use the lab when they when we're open. And they can also bring down a laptop and not have to use our equipment. We can give them the password and they can sign on to the Wi-Fi and sit and do work. But that's been... That's been interesting because a lot of people initially, I don't do computers. You know, they're in their 80s and 90s and they're not going to learn. And then gradually I've seen some 80-year-olds, 70-year-olds who do want to learn and have a few skills and want to be able to do more. One of the things I really want to do is set up Skyping for folks to see their grandchildren and or children. And, you know, who live far away and get that going. So far, we've talked about it in the newsletter. So far, nobody's taken me up on it. But we have the capability to do a camera relay. So that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
So
well, that's
I'm going on and on.
No,
see,
very
there's
cool.
so much.
My-
I had no idea when I first started that a little senior center could have so much going on.
Right. We could talk so, all morning about... Could. About other things we do, we should talk about that dance competition. But first, let me take a quick musical break. It was actually, and I should also mention, Mike, you said Mike Bauer. You can tune into this radio station at 7 o'clock on Saturday night to hear Mike with the 70s and then the 80s at 8 o'clock.
He so, has a show.
Believe it or not.
Oh, fine.
Right.
Didn't
here.
Know that.
But not this Saturday night because you're going to be out at the fairgrounds.
That's
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well done. Yes. This Saturday night, we're going to be out at the fairgrounds for the dance for Sassy, and we'll be back to talk more about that. First, here's Elvis Presley with his fifth number one hit of the 60s, not his fifth overall, which hit number one on this date in 1962. It's called Good Luck Charm, and you're listening to KRFY 88.5, Panhandle Community Radio. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. And we're back. This is the Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. Jack here with you. Across from me is special guest host Carrie Logan, and also in the room is Ellen Weissman, the executive director of SASE. That's the Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc. And you have a big one coming up this weekend.
We do.
Yeah. The dance. And there is a dance marathon, which I know we don't want to... We don't want to overemphasize that because it's a dance, a fun dance as well.
It's a fun community dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a really fun time. We have a casino area going, a silent auction area, and a snack bar and dinner.
And who's the music by?
Music is Jake Robin is doing a DJ gig for us, and he has come to the Daybreak Center and. Entertained and sung with the folks there. And he recently did a sip and shop for us at the winery. And he's just an awesome guy. And he's doing the DJ for us and playing music from the 20s all the way up to the present. And a few of us are going to be in costume. Costumes are optional, but we'll be flappers. And so it's going to be fun.
The dance marathon thing definitely caught my eye because that's not something you ever see. I mean, that's a throwback to like the 30s.
It is.
Yeah.
And when I was in college, I was in one and ever since then wanted to organize one and never did. And thought this would be a new, different kind of idea. And
how does the marathon work?
We'll start at three o'clock. And we'll go into from three until nine with that part of the event. We'll still be open till 10, there's a competition dance floor and then there's the regular dance floor. So sectioned off. So anyone can dance the whole time. At the top of the hour, we'll have 10-minute breaks for the competitors. And at 5 o'clock, we have a ballroom dance demonstration from Diane Peters' group. And that'll be really sweet. They'll do the foxtrot and tango. And so the competitors will start at 3 and go until 9. And at 9 o'clock, we'll award the winner for the longest dancing. And we've been hoping they would raise pledge money, but I don't know how much they've raised so far. We only have a few dancers at this point, and I welcome more dancers for the competition part. But that was my idea that I thought everybody would love, and apparently nobody wants to dance.
You must have watched Dick Clark a lot when you were a girl. Yeah,
I loved to dance. I thought everybody loved to dance. Apparently, not for 6 hours. We were going to go through the night originally. We scaled it back, actually.
But if you want to go to the event and you just want to dance, you don't have to worry about this marathon thing.
Right.
You just go and dance and sit down. You want to be there through dinner or whatever.
And actually, we're also going to have two rocking chairs in the competition section. So the dancers can take a break and rock, but they have to be moving. They have to continue moving. So, except for the 10-minute breaks, 10 to 15-minute breaks at the top of the hour.
Sure. Are you going to have the fire department on hand for emergency response?
Sharon Bistado is setting up a med tent for us.
Oh, good.
So, not the fire department, but we do have a med tent.
My goodness.
But that part of it has kind of morphed, unless we get slammed with people who really want to do it. I was hoping I'd have a lot of high schoolers and found out it's the night of the senior prom.
Yeah.
So if any prom goers want to come by in their, their fancy dress first and dance a little bit and then go to the prom, we'd love to. They can just stop by and dance.
Well, that's a good idea.
But didn't know that when we scheduled the date. In fact, Diane has her ballroom dance group that night too. So they're going to demonstrate for us and then do their ballroom dance. So we're running into a few other activities going on the same night. But I'm hoping for all those people who don't do that, we have a lot more to offer than just dancing. So and music is a universal language. So everybody likes to, I hope, listen to music.
And tell us about the food part.
The food part is we have food coming from, it'll be a big pasta spread, different kinds of pasta. Ivano's and Winter Ridge and I'm blanking out. Tango are donating food, and we've got pasta and garlic breadsticks and salad, Caesar salad and
yummy
regular salad and brownies. We're making the brownies in the kitchen ourselves because we make awesome brownies. So, and lemon bars. And we'll also have a snack bar and for earlier in the day. Dinner is 5:30 to 6:30. And we have silent auction spread that's killer. We've got a lot of great golf packages, 7 nights at Ponderé Shores, 2 festival season passes, La Quinta hot tub suite night there, SWAC membership. Did I mention the golf packages? We've got like 4 or 5 golf packages.
This is silent auction, you said?
Silent auction. Raffle-wise, we have the Hawaii condo that Encoder has given us for a few years now. And I have raffle tickets for sale at the senior center. People can swing by. I saw Something Shiny downtown. She's also selling tickets for us, raffle tickets and event tickets. And the raffle tickets are $5 each or 25 or 20 for 5 tickets. And the drawing will be that night at 8 o'clock. And the silent auction tables will close at 7, 7:30, and 8:15. There'll be three sections.
And do you have to be present to win if you
like? Not for the Hawaii condo. Not for the Hawaii. No, you don't. And we've sold quite a few of those, and that's been really fun.
That's so nice that Encoder does that. They do that for so many groups.
They do for a lot of groups.
That is really a really nice thing.
It's great. Yeah, that's very sweet of them. And it's been a big help for covering our expenses to put on the. I mean, it adds to the pool.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, You said you did a dance marathon when you were in college.
Yes.
How long were you able to dance?
I danced from 6 o'clock in the evening until noon the next day.
No way.
Yes.
Did you win?
I won second place.
Oh. Is this a partner thing?
It was a partner. And yes, to be clear, this is not a partner thing. You enter individually. So anyone can come down. The check-in for the dancers is from 2 to 3. And then we'll kick off the official start of the marathon.
For the marathon dance.
For the marathon at 3.
But if you just come in to dance,
you just come in to dance after 3. The doors open at 3.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but if you're coming for the marathon, we need you a little early to get you set up. And if you're in the marathon, you get dinner. So,
well, thank goodness.
And it's just a $10 fee to enter the marathon.
That's it. You should be advertising it. I'm thinking like extreme sports clubs around town and stuff. Go down to the rock climbing
now
gym
you
and
tell
stuff.
Me.
Yeah. That's where you'll get these.
You go to CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully they're listening. We have been talking to dance groups in town and in the high school and sent out a global email to the district.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad that it's on prom for the high school, but now it's an adult prom. I mean, it's an all ages prom,
but it's an all ages prom. And we actually talked about doing a senior prom, and I think Clark Fork's doing one a week or so later. But this is all ages. Anyone over 10 can enter the dance marathon, and anyone under 12 gets in with dinner for only $10 instead of the $20 fee for adults. I really hope the whole community turns out. And, we don't like to think about getting older. We don't like to think about being, that whole thing. But we do. And let's make our older years fun. And let's help our elders.
We're going to do a drawing for a ticket?
Yeah.
Not a drawing,
but
a call in?
Yes, we have. Ellen has generously donated to the first caller, once I start the music here. The first caller gets two tickets to the dance on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. These tickets are a $20 value apiece. They do include dinner at the dance. And as you've heard, it's going to be a fun time. So the first caller to this radio station after I start this music will get this pair of tickets. The phone number here at KRFY is 265-2992. And lines are open. Operators are standing by. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show. This is KRFY, and congratulations to Robert, who won those tickets. He'll be picking them up. Sounds like he'll pick them up tomorrow morning. And Ellen.
Congratulations.
Thank you for giving those away. We are running short on time here. I want to real quick. A note was handed to me during our conversation there. A big thank you to the KRFY volunteers who are, looks like this morning, out on Highway 95 south of town picking up trash. Adopt a Highway volunteers for KRFY. Thanks for doing that, all of our volunteers. I don't have the list of names in front of me. I know a few of them, but I don't want to forget anybody, so I'm not going to say anything, any particular name. But anyway, big thank you. And thank you to Ellen. Let's one more time give the important statistics, the important information about the upcoming fundraiser.
The SASE annual fundraiser will be this Saturday, April 23rd, at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. 3 o'clock is when we'll open the doors. And dinner will be at 5:30. And tickets are $20. You can get them at the door, which includes dinner. 10 if you want to come out and hang out and not have dinner. And 10 for children under 12, which includes dinner. And silent auction and casino area. And I didn't mention in the casino area, when you're done and you turn in your chips, you can use, well, we have script, SASE bucks, that you'll be able to use to in the snack bar or in to pay for a silent auction item to help offset the price of that.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. Or to buy a raffle ticket, which if you do that before 8 o'clock, then you'll have the raffle ticket for the drawing at 8. So that'll be cool for the Hawaii condo. And we have a website, too. I didn't mention that. It's sandpointareaseniors.org. And anyone can email me at info@sandpointareaseniors.org if they have questions. And we just hope the whole community comes out and supports the seniors.
It's a great cause.
It's a great cause.
Sounds like it's going to be a really fun event, too.
I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's for dinner again?
Big pasta dinners. Mm-hmm. Need the carbs so we can dance.
Yes, indeed.
That was the original plan.
Are you going to be on the marathon floor?
I will be on the floor some of the time. I think I will be floating. And
I suppose you've got other duties.
Other duties, but overseeing. But I can kind of oversee from the marathon floor. So, yeah, I'll be out dancing. Love to dance.
That'll be, it's worth it just to go and watch that marathon. That'll be interesting. I hope you get a few at least to turn out for that.
I hope so too. Yeah. We had three, but two of them may have dropped out.
Just one.
I need more.
Okay.
Yes. But
well,
hey,
spotlights,
you know,
on that person.
Even if we don't have that aspect, it'll be a really fun evening. It was never intended to just be a marathon.
No.
It's a fun community dance, hangout. And have fun.
And for a good cause, SASE is, if you can't make it to the show, but you still, or can't make it to the dance, but still interested in SASE, for all that we talked about earlier in the show, how do we get a hold of you there?
Stop by 20 Main Street, call 263-6860.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people but some people have bought tickets, but they know they can't come. So we're able to use those tickets for the two that we just gave away.
Yeah.
Someone else paid for them. And, I really hope that folks will show. And even if they come for a little bit or just come for dinner, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be pretty too. Our colors are yellow, purple, and blue, and it's going to be really pretty in there.
Yeah.
So
this is the fairgrounds, and that would be, I'm thinking
main
building.
The main hall. We're going to shorten it up a little bit, but it'll be cozy and fun and lots of music and,
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
It'll be good. And Jake Robin does a good job. He's your DJ
great.
For the night. Yeah.
What a sweet guy.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, thank you very much for coming down. We are just about out of time here. So,
play some more music.
That's right. I will say to the listeners, stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. We're going to let Iggy Pop take us out. It is his birthday today.
Huh?
And I know. How about that? Iggy Pop, born in like, I think born in 1947. He's almost 70 years old. That doesn't sound right.
Senior center.
Hey. Yeah. Maybe you'll see him there. This is Lust for Life off of his late 70s album of the same name.
Thank you, Jack.